Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Matthew 5, verse 48. Because I don't want to go into another energy, we'll just read these scriptures. Most of them are self-explained. And then we round up. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. In Christianity today, one of the things that many subliminally or subconsciously have concluded that is impossible is the possibility of attaining perfection. I wish I was taught that perfection was possible when I gave my heart to Christ. By now, maybe I would have come very close or I would have attained it. But because nobody told us it was possible, it was not part of our pursuit. We pursued good character. We pursued power. But we never pursued perfection. In fact, one thing they will always rub on your face is that to err is human. So we were taught that men were designed to walk in error. But you see, as you study the scriptures, you need to understand the difference between the believer of the Old Testament and the believer of the New Testament. And you need to understand where you are in God's agenda per time. One of the things that God has made possible for us as His children is the capacity to walk in perfection. I pray that He grants some of us favor to attain it, because we started learning it later. But we will teach it now so that the next generation, as they give their heart to Christ, they will know that it's possible. And they will start pressing towards it. Because there are two things that people don't even dare teach in the body of Christ. One is perfection, and two is immortality. Because sin and death has intimidated even the biggest generation of believers. But when you begin to read the pages of scriptures, you see that these things are possibilities that God has placed for us as an inheritance to walk into. And in this scripture, the Bible is telling us the heart of God concerning His children. It says, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. God began to say these things from the Old Testament to prepare a generation for it. And then in the New Testament, He began to insist on it. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 13, you will find that emphasis. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. So we are not just talking perfection at human standard or at human level. We are actually talking God or divine perfection. He said you should not just be perfect, he said, but be perfect as in the eyes of the Lord. You should be. And then in the New Testament, he said be. Because this is the heritage of the believer. The inheritance that God has made possible. And so we must, in addition to the many things we are trusting God for, add both perfection and immortality to our pursuit. Even if we don't attain it, at least we will leave it as a heritage for the next generation. But the first thing I want you to remove from your mind is that perfection is impossible. As you press into God, it's possible for you to attain it. You know, we have preached time and time again that Jesus, or Jesus' manifestation, amongst other things, is to reveal to us God's idea of a man. That's why we call him the pattern man. And every time we say we are looking unto Jesus, the pattern man, we talk about faith, we talk about power, but when it comes to perfection and immortality, we shy away. But if Jesus was perfect, and he was the pattern man, because the Bible said, Jesus speaking now, the Father speaking now, said, behold, this is my beloved Son, on the Mount of Transfiguration, in whom I am well pleased, he said, hear ye him. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. John said, as he is, so are we in this world. So he's the pattern. And if perfection was a reality that he mirrored, it means God also expects us to be so. And this is why Matthew 5:48, the Bible places it crystal clear. It says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But before we press into it, because I want to introduce the protocol, the integers, the indices, the pathways that if a believer were to adopt, he would arrive at perfection. But before I itemize the protocol, let me define what perfection is. The epistemology of the word. The word perfect, as used in the Old Testament, is the word tamim, and is also used as the word shalim. So it has two origins. If you check the Old Testament, tamim and shalim. In Genesis 17 verse 1, the word tamim was used for perfection. And the Bible said, God speaking to Abraham, he said, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the word used in this context meant three things. Number one, it meant to be complete. That you are blameless and that you are mature. Now, there are few people, because I've listened to few sermons on the subject of perfection, and most people who dare to teach about perfection, they don't talk about blamelessness. They don't talk about being complete. They will always talk about maturity. That is correct, but that's not the whole truth. Because that word tamim means to be mature, to be complete, blameless. So there is also the possibility of sinless perfection. This is why God said to walk before him and to attain it. The word shalim is used in 1 Kings 8 verse 61. And God was referring to the heart. He said, let thy heart be perfect before God. And so this word here represents two things. Number one, sincerity. And number two, completeness. So we can infer from the syllables of the Old Testament that perfection in the eyes of God is completeness, blamelessness, maturity, and sincerity. And when you come to the New Testament, it's not so different, because there are two words used for perfection in the New Testament. Number one is the word teleos, and number two is the word katatizo. And the word teleos is what you find in Matthew 5 verse 48. And that word refers to maturity. So when God says, be a perfect, epistemologically, is talking about attaining a level of maturity where you grow beyond faults. That's why Paul said, before somebody is ordained an elder, he said he must be blameless. You know, in the early church, eldership is not age. Why they respected age? There were definite qualifications for who an elder should be. And you find that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to 8. And one of the qualifications is that you grow to a level where you are not found in fault, to be blameless. This word does not necessarily, in this context, talk about sinless perfection. But when you see the comparison used in that scripture, you can infer that what God meant in the Old Testament is also included here. Because when you are God, you are not talking about, God is ageless. So you don't talk maturity with God. So if he said, be a perfect, if he said, as your grandfather, you can say maturity. But he said, be a perfect as your heavenly father. So he's comparing you with God. So it can't be maturity. So although the organic expression of that word was referred to maturity, the implication is deeper than maturity. Because it says, be perfect as God in heaven is perfect. So it's telling you that God expects you to be blameless and faultless as he is blameless. This is why we don't expect anybody to attain this by human strength. It's going to be attainable by grace and by the help of the Holy Spirit. But how can the Holy Ghost help you if you don't even believe it's possible? Before you begin to accept help in this direction, you must first of all believe that it is even possible. So we must first of all come to the understanding that God is not just here to forgive our sins so that we fall into error, we come back and ask for forgiveness, he forgives us, we fall into error and come back. No, if that's all God was interested in, there wouldn't have been the need for the Holy Ghost to come. Because the blood of Jesus would have done the work and it would have finished. Because so long as the blood is speaking for you, you are forgiven. But beyond forgiveness, God wants you to become like him. That's why he sent his spirit into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Because it's not just forgiving you, he wants to build you up to be mature, to be complete, to be blameless, and to be sincere in your dealings. So teleos is the word used for perfect, and it basically refers to maturity, but can also be inferred to blamelessness. Because the scripture in which it was used was in comparison with God. And then you find the word katathizo, which was used in Luke 6:40. It said, a disciple is not above his teacher. It said, but everyone who is trained is perfect and shall also be like his master. A disciple is not greater than his master. But everyone who is trained shall be perfect even as his master. This is the fifth word for maturity. And this word refers to a state of being refined. So what God is talking about here is the best version of you as he has proposed in his heart. And the best version of you is Christ-likeness. To be exactly like Christ. So as we deal with the subject of maturity, five things will be in your mind. Number one, as we deal with the subject of perfection, I beg your pardon. Five things will be in your mind. Number one is a state of completeness. That means your God expects you to come to a place where nothing is lacking in your character. Nothing is lacking in your faith. Nothing is lacking in your manifestation. See, when you see many Christians manifest, you can see many gaps that suggest they were not processed. So a man can raise the dead and you are saying, wow, this is the excellency of faith. And then 30 minutes later, that man is talking on how to siphon church money. You see a man operating word of knowledge. You say, this is the excellency, the zenith of the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. And then 1 week later, you hear that that man left that meeting and left with a young lady and slept with the lady. And then you are trying to rationalize. Is this diabolic? How do you compare somebody who was walking in the gift of the Spirit as if his eyes were the eyes of God. Yet, the very night, while he was prophesying, he was eyeing a woman. On the altar, while he was prophesying. So you find some people, see me later. See me later is not a word of knowledge. There are times when there are heavy things that can't be said in public. That maturity necessitates that we tell people in private. But I assure you, some of the see me later is either seed or personal things. This is why you hear all kinds of garbage from the altar, and it's a shame to talk about. But God expects that your manifestation is complete. That when people see you, they can literally compare you to Christ. Because in the zenith of power, there is character to support it. You'll find some people preaching, and you marvel at the revelation. You are wondering, how did they know this? But while they are yet talking, the arrogance, the fragrance of, is it fragrance now? The rot, the decay, the smell of arrogance that is coming with that revelation will make you detest the revelation, even though you can't deny the depth of the communication. But the arrogance is too loud for you to accept that message. So they are not complete. So when we talk perfection, we are talking a kind of completeness. Because God expects you to model Christ-likeness. You know, in Colossians 2 verse 9, he says you are complete in Christ. Because in Christ, God makes sure he formed you complete. But in your manifestation, that completeness must be revealed. And so when we talk maturity, perfection, we are talking completeness. When people see you, nothing is lacking. There is faith. There is character. There is revelation. There are resources to power God's agenda. And your life almost is a reflection of Christ walking on the earth. Then number two, when we talk perfection, we are talking blamelessness. Blamelessness. It's a state where a man grows beyond fault and errors. And it is possible. And I can tell you this because I'm not preaching my life. I'm preaching the word of God. I may not have attained it, but now I dare to believe it. So that I can ask God for grace and the help of the Holy Ghost. Because we can grow beyond fault. We can grow beyond error. And when I'm talking about this level of growth, I'm not just saying I don't lie. I'm not just saying I don't fornicate. I'm not just saying I don't. That sin. That one is for babies. I'm talking growing to a level where there is so much precision in your spirit that mistakes are so minimized that you are almost a reflection of the mind of God. And these things are possible. A great man of God said, when the Holy Ghost began to teach him this truth, even little things like I forgot, God began to forbid him from saying it. That when you are building into perfection, there's a consciousness you must have. And this is why these messages should be preached. Because if we achieve the consciousness alone, then we have done enough. Another generation will pick it up. He said, when you forget something, don't say, I forgot. Say, I remember. And as you say, I remember, it will come into your spirit. And you will now train your soul to stop forgetting. So we are talking realms beyond error. You are blameless. It is possible. Walk before me and be ye blameless. Number three is maturity. This is character. Oh, how much the body of Christ needs men of character to appear on the scene again. Today, when you say you are a pastor, people become careful. I'm not saying if you say you are a Christian. Because it's even safer now to be a Christian than to be a pastor. Because if you say you are a Christian, your focus is to be like God. But nowadays, when people say they are pastors, their focus is to preach. So there are many wolves in sheep clothing. Go anywhere, say you are pastor. They say, watch him, Proen, watch where. That's the level of indignation that we have brought to the body. Because there's no character. People are immature in their words, in their actions. If you see what men of God fight over, you will be ashamed for them. People can fight tear clothes because of how to share money that they got by deceiving people. Many don't even dare preach some messages now because even their conscience won't let them. And if they force it out of their mouth, there's no witness. They will be talking to look like somebody else is speaking because you can't rationalize where the voice is coming from. Immaturity. Even sacred things, you can't entrust spiritual people with it anymore. Because they can't control their tongue. We are talking a state of completion, a state of blamelessness, a state of maturity. We are talking a state where you are sincere and a state where you are refined. Because perfection also has to do with excellence and refinement. You meet certain people, they say they want to take the world. Augusta, iron your shirt first. The world is too... If you can't put your shirt together, the chaos in the world is too much for you. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. The war suit, they've not washed it for 2 months. The color suit that you wear on top of another shirt, the color of suit is dirty. So what, you now imagine what will happen to the shirt inside that is touching you. But the guy wants to iron the world when he has not ironed the shirt. They are not refined. Give little assignment, they are all over the place. So there's no refinement. Meanwhile, even in the world, they know the place of excellence. You can't go to a bank and find disorderliness. By 6 a.m. You enter the bank, 7:30, they are ready for business. Everybody is suited. Everybody is ready for their work. Customers are already being attended to. But you come to church, service is 5, 6 o'clock, people are still running. There's no phone generator. Hey, why? The wire is shaking. Augusta, is it now they told you there's service? So we need to wake up. Because these things are possible. And it's something that will apply to your soul, to your body, and to your circumstances. You must demonstrate it. This is what God is calling for. He said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be complete. Be blameless. As your heavenly Father is complete and blameless. I was telling you humorously the other day, and we all laughed here, but it's a shame that in church, you can't say, go and count the offering. 7 people have to go together, and they are all holding the offering basket, and there are 10 CCTV cameras watching where they are counting money. Because you can't find sincere men, even with the offering that is supposed to be sacred. Are you sure we are ready to win the world? To disciple the world? Are we the ones to save this world? That's why we need revival as much as we need evangelism. You know, many people say, preach Christ, win souls, go out there. Oh God, it's important too. But the same momentum with which we go out to win souls is the same momentum we need to bring into church to trigger revival. Because evangelism and discipleship holds the same value. Be ye perfect. I will talk about immortality another time. But what is the protocol of attaining perfection? Number one is genuine salvation. Because if you are not saved, there's no way you can be like God. Because salvation is not an improved life. Salvation is not a modified life. Salvation is an exchanged life. I tell you here time and time again, no matter how much energy, time, training you invest on a baboon, baboons can never be like men. A baboon may wash plates, a baboon may know how to wear a shirt, but it can never be a man. So salvation is the foundation for the journey of perfection. Because in salvation, what God did was to put his life on your inside. What makes him who he is what he deposited into your spirit. This is why salvation, perfection will be impossible without salvation. There are many monks today that have mastered the art of meditation, built so much discipline, and there are many areas of their lives where they are very excellent, but they can't be perfect. Because these things begin from the spirit to the soul to the body to the circumstance. You can't do it from outside inside. You do it from inside outside. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So every one of us have fallen from the realm of perfection. It will take salvation for us to be reinstated to that realm so that we begin to grow in it. The Bible said in Titus, I think chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to 5, the Bible told us how that our spirit was regenerated. That means it's a new being that was born. God didn't begin as an attempt to improve us. He regenerated us. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, is there in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which he committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that you may set in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in the city as I have appointed thee. Verse 6, he said, if any be blameless, are you seeing there? If any be what? Blameless. A husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, and a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Are you seeing qualities of a leader? But all of these things are possible first because God, who cannot lie, promised salvation before the foundations of the world. This is why 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. A new creature. Because you must be born again to begin to mature into God's likeness. So the beginning of perfection is salvation. So that you are restored to the glory that you lost. It's a God who cannot lie, promises before the foundation of the world that new creatures must be born. That's what salvation is. And this is why the Bible said in Colossians 2:10, it said you are complete in Christ. That means in salvation, your spirit man has been perfected in Christ. Your spirit man has been furnished unto blamelessness in Christ. And in Ephesians 1:13, it says, after God perfected you, he sealed you with the Holy Ghost of promise, so that the spirit is not corrupt. But the job does not end with the Spirit. God expects that the same Holy Spirit that regenerated your spirit in salvation will continue the process using the agency of the world to transform your mind until your mind becomes like your spirit. And then he mortifies your body and ultimately transfigures at the rapture so that your body too is quickened to become like your spirit. So while we are on earth, our journey and walk with the Spirit is to yield our souls, because salvation has deposited the possibility and the job has begun in the Spirit, so that the Holy Ghost can continue that job through our soul and our body, ultimately culminating at rapture. But it begins with salvation. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So the raw material for recreating you in salvation, which now is your spirit, is Christ himself. You were created in Christ Jesus. That's why you are a new species that has never existed before. So if a man is not saved or saved, perfection is not in view, no matter how he tries. But when salvation is achieved, then the process continues. And that's where the protocol begins to open. The second thing that makes you grow into perfection is now to abide in Christ. You have to abide in Christ. John 15, verse 4 to 5. This is why when people are saved, we insist that they continue in the world. Because if you are saved and you walk away, all you will have is forgiveness of sin. You will never become like God. It's like giving birth to a child in the hospital and leaving that child. No. The process continues. You must teach him how to abide. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, he said, no more can ye except you abide in me. In verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. So the way you become or grow into what God expects you to be is when you abide in Christ. Because it's only in Christ that you are complete. You can't be complete in yourself. You can't be perfected in yourself. He said, you are complete in him. You are teleos in him. Colossians 2:10. You know, most of us give our hearts to Christ and then we want to build perfection in ourselves. We now rely on our intelligence. We rely on our abilities. We will fail 1,000 times. This is what the error of the Galatian church. In Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5, Paul looked at them and he said, oh, foolish Galatians, is there who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? He called them foolish, attempting to build perfection by the strength of their will, attempting to build perfection by their human intelligence. He said, this only will I learn from you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He said, are ye foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh? You started your perfection in the Spirit, that's salvation. You will grow in perfection also in the Spirit. And the first operation of the Spirit is to stay in the gospel. Anything you can't find in Christ, you can't find in yourself. It's when you see it in him that it becomes your reality. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, it said, we are changed. We all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, it said, we are changed. Changed into what? Into that image.
from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you keep beholding the gospel, receiving the gospel, something happens to you. You become what you hear. Like I'm telling you now, that perfection is possible in Christ. It's registering in your spirit. If you hear it over and over and over again, it will now energize you to walk in it. This is why we must be careful to preach the gospel. Because men can never be perfect unless they keep hearing the gospel. If every day all you hear is the condemnation of sin, although once in a while we remind men of the terror of God, but if that's what you hear all the time, a point will come, you'll build sin consciousness. You need to hear how you are made righteous so that you can receive the ability to live righteous. You need to hear how you have been perfected so you receive the ability to be perfect. You need to hear how you have been empowered by grace so that you can walk in it. Because if that consciousness that comes only by abiding in Christ does not come, you will never become. Go check. Where they talk about witchcraft all the time, people are always bewitched. You go do your research. But where they talk about the victory, the glory, the power men have in Christ, you hardly find people casting out devils. Because everybody has grown beyond that realm. I'm not saying we should throw the former away. There will always be babes that will need demons cast out from. But a point needs to come where you leave the devil alone and focus on Jesus. So that you become like Christ. You don't back the direction you are traveling to, sir. If I'm going to Lagos, I face Lagos. Once in a while, I may look back. I may look by the side, but I'm going to Lagos. So it's not Satan we are preaching. If Christ we preach, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what brings men to perfection. Paul said we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So I'm not saying we shouldn't mention what Satan is doing and prevail over it. But I'm saying it shouldn't be predominant in our communication. We become perfect when we abide in Christ. You remember I tell you here, you have the life of God. You have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God. You have the righteousness of God. You have the grace of God. I'm saying this thing to build a consciousness in you. That consciousness is what will bring you into the reality. So if you will journey into perfection, Christ must become your predominant consciousness. You must abide in Christ. Number three, protocol of perfection is to walk in the Spirit. You have seen already from Galatians 3 verse 3, if by the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18, if by the Spirit. So a man who does not know how to walk in the Spirit will be overwhelmed by the flesh. It says in Genesis 17:1, walk before me and be perfect. So if you are not in the Spirit, if you are not connected to the Spirit, you can't attain perfection. Because what stops you from attaining perfection is the flesh. And only the Spirit can mortify the flesh. So any man who wants to attain perfection must master how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The Bible said, if we walk in the Spirit, it said we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It said, for the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and the two are one against the other. So perfection is possible when yieldedness is attained. Write these things down. These are the keys and precursors of perfection. Number one is believe in Christ to receive salvation. Number two, abiding in the word or in the gospel of Christ. Number three is yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. It's not impossible, but there are precursors. If you write this thing down and you ask God for the grace to do them, you will be shocked the mileage you will cover in a short time. Many don't even know what to pray for. Tell God to open the word to you. When the light of the word hits you, anything that is not of God will leave you. Tell God to grant you the grace to hear and yield to the Holy Spirit and see what your life becomes. The difference between death and life is the direction you follow. If you go with the Spirit, you attain life. If you go with the flesh, you attain death. There are no two ways about it. Romans 8:13, it says, if we live after the flesh, it says, we shall die. It says, but if we through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, then we shall live. This will be some of the many things that will be taught. And I told you, this is introduction. Because I will teach you how to yield to the Holy Ghost. I will teach you how to abide in the Word. And as you begin to develop it, train yourself in it, you will see that the character of Christ will begin to grow in you. Number four, attaining perfection is deliberate commitment to character development, which is what we call maturity. And this is a commitment. Because characters are not formed overnight. It's a what your thoughts, they become your actions. What your actions, they become your habit. What your habit, they become your character. And what your character, because it will be your destiny. So character formation is a commitment. And anybody who desires perfection is deliberate to form character. And as you read the Bible, you are going to see that the Bible calls maturity or character formation perfection. Everything I'm listening to you here, scriptures call them perfection. In Colossians 2:10, it calls abiding in Christ or in the word completeness. Teleos. In Genesis 17 verse 1, it calls walking in the Spirit or before God perfection. Tamim. Look at Hebrews 5:12 to 14. Character. It says, when ye ought to be teachers. It says, you have need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God. It says, and I become such as have need for milk and not of strong meat. He said, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He has not mastered righteousness. That is perfection. That means it takes skill to walk in perfection. Skillful. Because as you follow, you know, he quoted the scripture, Psalm 144 verse 1. The Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. There is a skill for navigation in the Spirit. And in verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them who are full age, maturity. Those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. So you build maturity by exercising yourself unto it. That's why I said to exercise yourself unto godliness. This is where consecration comes in. No indisciplined person can walk in perfection. Job said, I trained my eyes not to look upon the virgin. Paul said, I beat my body and bring it under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27. And Paul also said in 2 Timothy 2:19 or 21 now, it says, if a man purges himself from these things. So you train yourself. Some of us, our heart is like a city without walls. That's why we can never grow into perfection. Every garbage we look on, we open our ears to, and then we come struggling to be perfect. It doesn't work. You think Satan is foolish? Billions of dollars are being spent to propagate and project all forms of iniquity and sodomy. You think it's not a deliberate thing? You can go to church for your lifetime. If you don't build a wall around your eyes, your ears, and your heart, you will fall a million times. And because we are not taught, men don't contend for these things. The Bible said, if you have not resisted to the point of blood. So God expects us to resist even to the point of blood. You know what James 3:2 said? He said, the man that has rule over his tongue. He said, that man is a perfect man. So character is to have rule over yourself. It is formed. And if you start attaining perfection, you will focus on building character. In fact, when I was studying on this subject, the greatest aspect that the subject of perfection was discussed from was the aspect of character. Either from control over tongue or patience, you just find them. In James 1:4, if you read from verse 2 to 4, you'll see it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And he said, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, one that is born from being separated unto God. That's why perfection is a pursuit of holy living. And you pursue it. Leviticus 11:44, Job 1 verse 1, you will find these scriptures. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Now, in the Old Testament context, God was training them with physical things. But now it's beyond meat. Now we are talking heart posture. And you see that it's a pursuit. You pursue it. And there were men who pursued it. In Job chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible spoke of a man that was in the city of Luz. And he said his name was Job. The city of Uz, whose name was Job. He said that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So we are talking holiness, separation unto God, that results in uprightness and rejection of evil. This is the journey of perfection. You get born again. Now that you are born again, you abide in the Word. The Word of God takes root in your heart. You yield to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost energizes you. On the strength of the interaction with the Word and the Spirit, character begins to form. So it's a protocol. As character is being formed, you now discover that other appetites start developing in your spirit. And holiness is the first appetite of any man who is chasing perfection. The desire to be separated unto God. And when you are separated unto God, you become as blameless as He is blameless. We stop at salvation. That's why we gather in our numbers, but there are no godly men. And when we want to do business with the world, we are only interested in physical needs. Find 1 million people gather. Every day is about bread. It's about wine. I tell you here, we are not cows. It's only cows that navigate for green pasture. Something else is chasing us. I'm not against meeting the needs of believers. But do we even have a priority of need? If you want to get the people to be excited, if you want to get the people to be committed, just be bombarding on their needs. They will get married, they will get breakthrough, they will get healing, and you see all the energy. And then you have millions of consumers who don't resemble God. the least challenge, you will see who they are. That's why they leave our miracle services, leave our prayer meetings, go to the office the same day and compromise. Because we gave them a miniature gospel. All we teach them that Christ came to die for is to give them breakthrough. I'm not against it. But there is more in the gospel than just having a good life or intervention. Jesus didn't come here for you to have a car. There are many godless men who have car companies. Inasmuch as the Holy Ghost can inspire you to attain that level, move somebody to give that to you, make you productive, to make money to buy one, that's not God's priority. So God blesses, but His blessing is beyond mundane things. A time should come where millions should gather and our cry is holiness. Otherwise, our generation will be forgotten. Because we have no stake in the realm of God. We are a consumer generation. If it is not, I want to marry, I want house rent, I want healing, nobody cares. Tell people, come, let's seek the face of God. You will see the real size of the church. When God has a need, no man shows up. You call for evangelism, and you see a church of 10,000. If 200 comes, then you are doing a thorough job. And if you must get them to evangelize, then you have to use 30 scriptures to convince them that evangelism results in breakthrough. Otherwise, they won't come. Tell them God needs souls. Nobody will show up. You call them for vigil. I say, we want to seek God's face. We want to know God. A church of 2,000, you won't find 50 people. And if they come the first day, come in the fourth week, they will reduce to 10. What a generation. Don't get me wrong. I believe God blesses. But I also believe there is a kingdom that we must pray for. And so the fifth protocol of perfection is dogged pursuit of holiness. 1 Peter 1 verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 12 verse 14. I'm giving you these scriptures so you go and study them. Because it is written, go to verse 15. But as he which had called you is holy, he said, be ye also holy in all manner of conversation. That's all manner of your life, every aspect of your life. He said, be holy as he that called you is holy. He said, for it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Hebrews 12, 14. We are talking perfection here. And I told you it's what? Blamelessness, which is born from separation unto God. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Without which no eye shall see God. I've taught you before. Don't follow the gospel of lewd men who are looking for an occasion for sin, yet find peace from wrong and erroneous teachings. Who say holiness has nothing to do with what you do. That you don't even have to pursue it. That you have become holy because you have the Holy Ghost. They tell you Mount Sinai is holy. Mount Horeb is holy. Why? Because God alighted upon it. That's true. But that's half truth. Anything God comes upon is sanctified. But will that thing stay with God? Will that thing manifest God? Will that thing walk like God? Because if you are separated unto God, then you should walk like unto God. The Bible said, if ye be in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. When God came upon Sinai, nothing touched it. It became separated unto God. So you, the Holy Ghost, came upon you. And fornication is still touching you. Lying is still touching you. Are you not deceiving yourself? The Bible says, follow peace. And follow holiness. Follow it. Without which no eye shall see God. Perfection.
Most of us don't make up our mind to pursue it. We are, you want to pursue holiness. You know that there are certain channels that even Satan knows can't play on in your house or play on your phone. Even your Bluetooth, the advert can come. And if the advert comes, some of us who are pursuing it, we go and press, not interested, never show again. If I'm watching any channel and any advert pop up that has a tendency of defilement, I press not interested. If I can, I report it. You don't pop up here, sir. I'm talking with you. You talk careless. The way I will look at you, you know that this relationship has just ended. It has finished. As I leave you, you check my, those who are on my phone, they know. You will check, you see block one, block two, block. You don't talk nonsense around me, sir. Because the heart is an open door. Things enter. And because we are pursuing some things, we block some things. I may not have all the discernment and make a mistake and connect with you. When I hear anything that is not of God, I check with you if it's true and you don't want to repent. We will meet in heaven if you make it. I want to be holy and you have two girlfriends. I wanted to break up. The other one was crying. I had compassion. Your people will cry in hell forever and ever. Compare what? What's that? He wants to be holy, but he has friends with thieves. James 4 verse 4 say, you are adulterous generation. He said, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He said, it's because he is helping me. Helping you and corrupting your soul. If it's a professional job, then the boundaries must be defined. When we meet, we talk business and everybody goes away. I'm not interested in dinner. Because it's a shame that your own holiness can't convert them. It's their sinfulness that is converting you. That means in your own life, darkness has shown superiority over light. Meanwhile, light should rule over darkness. See, a generation of people who are aggressive in pursuing holiness must rise. Aggressive. You are so dogged about it that they know. When you come, if they were saying something, they lower their voice. Your temerity and audacity in defending it is without apology. Let there be gravity in our lives. Number 6. You are pursuing perfection, then you must be quick to forgive. When people genuinely repent, forgive. Because you can't attain perfection. Forgiveness is one of the greatest expressions of love. And a man who has truly attained God's character is prone to forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Colossians 3, 13. Write those scriptures down. Go and read it. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. See the problem you may have. Because you are pursuing holiness. If you are not careful, you will become God the judge. While it's important to define barriers to save your heart, be careful not to judge others. Because if you are not careful, your pursuit of holiness will make you to become proud and you may end up in self-righteousness. Because there are many persons, because they trusted God not to lie. They trusted God not to hate. They trusted God not to be bitter. They trusted God not to fornicate.
they have become champions. So even when they are talking, they are rubbing it to your face how that they are sinless men. Then they now end up, they fall from the top to the bottom. The sign that you are not self-righteous is that you forgive quickly. Because you know that the reason you are standing with God is not your merit, it's His merit. That's why I said, the way you were forgiven, forgive others. And if you don't forgive others, yourself will not be forgiven. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any has quarreled against any, even as Christ forgave, so also forgive. Even as what? Christ. So He's comparing you with Christ-likeness. This is why forgiveness brings you to perfection. Because it makes you Christ-like. Even as Christ forgave. So a man manifests Christ-likeness in forgiveness. There are people who swear that they won't forgive. And when they want to die, they tell their children, this one, don't forgive him. You can caution your children and say, this is a bad man, be careful with him. But don't teach your children evil. The root of bitterness has eaten them up. And others don't enjoy life. It's at their deathbed that they now, out of fear of hell, in case it's real, because they never believed it. But now, in case it's real, they are forced to forgive you so that they die well. Don't do that. Be quick. If you are light in your heart, it will corrupt your soul. And then finally, you want to be perfect, walk in love. Matthew 5:43 to 47, 1 John 4:7 to 8, Ephesians 5:1-2. Project quickly, let's read it. I'm rounding up. Matthew 5:43, it says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. I'm showing you who a perfect man is. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Next verse. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain to the just and to the unjust. 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do same? Verse 47. If they, and if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do you not even the do that not even the publicans? So he said, if you want to be like your heavenly Father, he said, love like your heavenly Father. If you want to be perfect as your heavenly Father, love like your heavenly Father. Who loved not just only his friends, but even his enemies. 1 John 4:7-8. And he shows you why God behaves like this, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every man that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He is born of God and knoweth God. That's the man who is truly complete in God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Ephesians 5:1-2. Perfection. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. How? And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savour. So when a man begins to love, he's compared to Christ. Love, even as Christ. So when you love, you are perfect like Christ. So when you want to look for a perfect man, look for a man who is born again. And not just born again. A man who is committed to the word. And not just committed to the word. A man who is yielded to the Holy Spirit. And not just yielded to the Holy Ghost. A man who is mature in character. And not just mature in character, a man who pursues holiness. And not just pursue holiness, a man who is quick to forgive. And not just quick to forgive, but a man who is full of love and walks in love. This is the journey of perfection. When you do this, you will be complete. You will be blameless. You will be mature. You will be sincere. And you will be refined. So when men see you, there will be nothing short of God in your life. They will almost say, the day they met you, they met God. This is the burden the Father has for us. Matthew 5:48, he said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Luke 6 verse 40, a disciple is not greater than his master. He said, but one that is trained, everyone that is trained, everyone that is perfect will be as his master. Everyone that is refined will be as his master. As you leave this service tonight, go and write on your wall, from today, I will be committed to the world. From today, I will be committed to yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. From today, I will develop my character consciously as prescribed by the word. From today, I will pursue holiness. From today, I will forgive even the unforgivable. And from today, I will walk in love. So help me God. And watch your life. You will marvel the way you will begin to transfigure into Christ likeness. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. I said, perfection means five things, whether in the Hebrew or in the Greek. Tamim, Shazam, Telios, or Katatizo. It means five things. Number one is completion. Number two, maturity. Number three, blamelessness. Number four, sincerity. And number five, refinement. Of all of these five, the easiest is maturity. Because when you mature, the other four naturally flows out of you. And I say maturity is what? In wisdom, in faith, and in character. I want us to pray to God tonight to grant us grace to mature fast. Fast. Some of us need wisdom fast. Some of us need faith to grow in faith fast. Pastor Gustin spoke about faith. And some of us need character development fast. In 1 minute, you don't need to stand. If you want to stand, that's fine. But lift your voice to God. Father, grant me grace to mature and to mature fast. To mature and to mature fast. Go ahead and pray for the next 2 minutes. Talk to God. Can pray in the spirit. Can pray in your language. Can pray in English. On ground, online. If Christianity will subsist, then the grace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost must be deployed. Not only in the direction of power, but also in the direction of perfection. Perfection. Let there be a revival of perfection. That men will say, no, these ones are like Christ. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they were like little Christ. What they saw was perfection. The people were like Christ, so they called them Christians. In obedience to God, changing everything, changing everything.
Add prayer, because that one we don't teach it. You pray it in the protocol of maturity. You pray it. Colossians 4:12, is that Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ, praying fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is the same Paul that said in Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Christ. So it's a reality in your spirit, and it's also a manifest reality. What we are talking about here is the ability to draw it out to become a manifestation. And as you engage those protocols, you see that from glory to glory shall be your testimony. Father, thank you, because even tonight we receive grace to journey in perfection. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.